Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Brody Henderson, Seth Morris, Hayden Samick, Corey Calkins, Marge Smith, Randall Williams, Sam James, and Savannah Ashore. Now, Savannah, this is your first time on the show, so tell folks what you do here at Meat Eater.
I'm the director of publishing at Meat Eater, and that means I work on our print book projects as well as Campfire Stories, our audiobook series.
How do you feel about your chances of Meat Eater trivia?
Very, very bad.
Okay.
I tried to get out of this.
Steve, you know Savannah well. How do you think she's going to do?
First, I'll say that when it comes to book publishing, me and Brody and Savannah are like nuts on a dog.
Okay.
Like a three-nutted dog.
That's right.
And you've added a fourth nut lately, right?
And we've grown a fourth.
Mm-hmm. But about Meat Eater trivia,
Randall,
how do you think she's going to do?
Well, here's the deal. Savannah admittedly, here's what makes Savannah a great collaborative partner, is she looks at everything with a fresh eye.
Okay.
She's not biased by past knowledge.
Savannah, has Steve told you this before?
This is a beautiful way of describing me.
She said it's just in one ear. It's the information comes in.
Okay.
She works on so many books, and that's what she's done her whole career.
Uh-huh.
It comes in. There's no place for it to live.
100%.
She's not like
it gets worked on, and then it leaves.
Okay. She's not like, that's not the way you hunt deer.
No. It would drag me down to have to just store that information.
Because she's done ghostwriting in her past publishing. There's no room for it all.
Just to be clear, this is a compliment you're giving her that it's
she's able to very quickly immerse herself into a world, look at it from the perspective of a non-insider, find out what makes sense, what works, what needs better explanation, and then a vacuum apparatus of some sort.
And it's on
sucks
the
it back
thing.
Out.
The vacuum is my brain.
But
just very valuable.
It back since out. She's worked on so much Meat Eater stuff, there's a chance some of it may be back there in the back of her head,
I
and it might
like,
help her out.
Yep, her homunculus,
yes,
may have trapped some information.
Remember this, okay. Savannah?
But I'm mostly saying that because this is what Savannah was saying. I had to basically beg her to come down here, and I'd sort of got her to come down under the idea that she would be on my team.
Oh.
But that idea wasn't well received.
Shot down immediately by Hayden, Brody, Seth. They
Brody didn't
like it at all.
No. I keep thinking, like, I'm going to come down here and, I don't know, Brody will have, like, you know, like you'll hit, like, your pension. I don't know. What happens, like, when he gets a certain age? You know I mean, like, he'll be like, oh, no, Brody retired.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
He's got like a
no
gold.
Way, man.
He's got like a gold watch and shit. I don't know. But every time I come down, you're like, there he is sitting there.
Yeah.
Same place.
Yep. Now, it's not
like,
lost.
I was like, he didn't retire?
It's not lost on me, Steve, that you've got like the whole book publishing team in town. Does that mean something? You got anything to share?
Yeah, it's kind of a, yeah, we got a lot of projects. So we got a new title coming out. We have a great activity book. It's like an activity book, but it's an educational manual. Mm. If you wish your kids knew all the shit you don't know, you'd get them this book.
So this is for kids and adults?
No, it's for a wide swath of kids.
Okay.
Catch a crayfish, count the stars.
When does that come out?
I don't know. When's it come out?
May?
We're done with it. Very soon.
May, June?
June of next year.
It's for...
No, June of this year.
I'm sorry, June of this year.
So I have... My kids are 8, 10, and 12. It's... Mm-hmm. Very appropriate for all of my kids. It'd be appropriate for kids a bit younger, and my 12-year-old definitely hasn't aged out of it. But it's like, it's the whole world put into these things, they like activities they can do. Mm-hmm. Some, you know, if you're not careful, your kid might cut his finger off or something. So you got to exercise caution. Some they can do on their own. Some they'll need some help with. We loaded it with all of the requisite warnings. But if you want your kid to understand the planet and their place in it and like what's going on around them, this is a book you ought to buy for them.
Love it. Is it safe to assume that there is always a book in the works?
Oh, multiple titles always in the works.
So like this one that's coming out, the kids activity book, how long has that been in the works?
Like 10 years. I don't know. I'm joking, but long
I mean, we started working on it a year and a half ago, probably.
As soon as we finished the Wilderness Skills book, we got into this one.
Uh-huh.
And then we got more. We're doing a Sportsman's Atlas of America.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to be like, well, where exactly did Hugh Glass get killed? It would point you to that place, and it would tell you what it looks like, what went on there, how you can go to probably the closest known spot. To be like, where did Hugh Glass get mauled by a grizzly bear?
Mm-hmm.
It'll help you pinpoint as close as possibly known. Where was Daniel Boone's first son killed? Where was Daniel Boone's second son killed? And then other shit too. Not just old people like that. I'm just throwing that out as an example. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a thing. And Randall's working on this right now. We're working on a audio original that will be a complete. The story and explanation of the Long Hunters and Mountain Men and all the market factors, what they did, like the real shit you want to know.
Yeah.
Forgot about the cookbook.
Oh,
my goodness. It's a lot of words you guys got.
An outdoor cookbook.
Yeah.
We're finishing an outdoor cookbook right now. It's like a follow-up to the Fish and Game Complete Guide to, or not a complete guide. What the hell is that book called?
It's the Meat Eater Cookbook.
The follow-up to the Meat Eater Cookbook.
Which is still selling like hotcakes.
Well, that's our best-selling title ever.
Are any more of these releases in 2023?
No.
No.
Just one. Okay.
And then one more cookbook, the Daniel Pruitt Wild and Whole.
The Wild and Whole cookbook.
That's being finished up right now.
So many books, Steve can't even remember them all.
Well, and then it was just so people understand, if you like the Close Calls series, mm-hmm. the audio original, the Meteor's Close Calls, that was Savannah's project.
That's great.
But all that information went out of her head.
And there's a volume 3 in the works.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Wow. Now, Savannah, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's 4 verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there's a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're looking at Steve and Brody's performances when the other isn't playing.
Ooh, I like this.
Now, Brody,
the last time I was here, it was like an observation of his. It wasn't
right,
a stat.
Right, it wasn't a
but
stat.
But this is like a stat.
Now, Brody has accused Steve of racking up wins when Brody isn't here. And Steve has accused Brody of racking up wins when Steve isn't here. Well, now we're going to get to the bottom of this. When Steve has played without Brody, he has won 8 of 10 times. When Brody has played without Steve, he has won 4 of 8 times. So 67% of Steve's Meat Eater Trivia victories have happened without Brody playing, and 33% of Brody's victories have happened without Steve playing.
God, he really is better than I am.
This is the advanced metrics revolution here.
That's right. That means that Steve's winning percentage when Brody isn't here is 80%, and his winning percentage when Brody is here is 29%. Brody's winning percentage.
Oh, hit me with that again. Hit me with that again.
Your winning percentage without Brody is 80%.
Really?
Your winning percentage with Brody is 29%. Brody's winning percentage when Steve isn't here is 50%, and his winning percentage when Steve is here is 33%.
Huh. Mm.
This, to me, one of the things you may not recognize, it sounds like Brody needs Steve to be here to, like, sort of amp him up.
It wakes him up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Helps his performance. I get bored.
Because he's like, what's the fun in, like, beating Chester?
Meanwhile, Steve gets hyped up when Brody isn't here, and that's when he has his A game.
Oh, dude, when Brody's here, I'm paying way more attention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
We have some housekeeping to get to before we play. On last week's episode, we heard from a linguist on why Colorado is not only an acceptable pronunciation, but also the preferred one among locals. But Steve said that he will side with whatever John Denver says. So I went through Denver's entire discography and found 7 different songs where Colorado is in the lyrics.
God, he really was on the payroll, the state
Aspen
promotion.
Those songs are I Guess I'd Rather Be in Colorado, Christmas Like a Lullaby, Whispering Jesse, The Harder They Fall, Durango Mountain, Caballero, The Blizzard, and Steve's favorite sing-along, Rocky Mountain High. Play the clip, Phil.
Yep. Yep.
Need to hear Chester cover that.
Yep. Yep. That's what I thought.
You feel good about that?
I do.
Now,
and most people that live there because of Johnny Denver.
Okay. That's a good stat. I like that.
That's what I thought about some stats.
Now, in all 7 of Denver's songs that mention Colorado, he sings Rado instead of Rado. I couldn't even find one instance of Denver using the local pronunciation. But there's a reason for that. John Denver isn't a Colorado native. Denver, who was born as Henry John Deutschendorf in 1933, was raised in Arizona. He went to college in Texas, then moved to Los Angeles, and then moved to Minnesota. It wasn't until he was nearly 30 years old when he moved to Aspen, where he lived from 1970 to 1997. So when he wrote Rocky Mountain High in 1972, he had only been a Colorado resident for 2 years. So Steve, does that change your stance at all on John Denver being the authority?
No, I'm holding tight.
Okay.
What was John Wayne's last name? Wasn't John Wayne. Like, his real name is Marion.
I don't know. Deutschendorf. I guess I'm the one guy with a computer.
Dude, right? My kids like that cartoon. What's that cartoon?
Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb.
Marion Robert Morrison.
Yeah.
John Wayne's.
He's like, yeah. He's kind of John Wayne.
So you're sticking with Rado.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The Shelby Index for this round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1. The topic is public lands, and as always, this will be multiple choice. Which of these animals is not found in Yellowstone National Park?
Mm-hmm.
Is it garter snakes, wolverines, pelicans, or largemouth bass? Which of these animals is not found in Yellowstone National Park? Is it garter snakes, wolverines, pelicans, or largemouth bass? Savannah, just to be clear, there is one right answer, not multiple. One right answer in this bunch. Garter snakes, wolverines, pelicans, or largemouth bass. Does everybody have an answer?
Me and Brody are tied.
Okay.
That's right.
Everybody have an answer?
Wait.
Okay. Garter snakes, wolverines, pelicans, largemouth bass.
Remember when Hayden was an emerging threat? What do you call a declining threat?
A receding threat.
A receding threat.
Okay. You ready, Hayden? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying largemouth bass, Savannah saying pelicans, Hayden saying wolverines, Brody saying largemouth bass, Sam saying largemouth bass, Marge and Corey and Randall.
Corey got it wrong.
And Seth saying largemouth bass.
Black bears.
He just wrote bass.
They need to be real worried about smallmouth these days, though.
The correct answer is largemouth bass.
You want to tell me? You want me to tell you a stat that'll blow your mind?
Let's hear it.
In these ponds here about town, anything that has anything besides a rainbow or a cut was illegally introduced. Fishing game has never done perch, never done largemouth bass, never done bluegill. It's all bucket biology.
Or goldfish.
They've never done goldfish.
They've never done it. I thought at some point they were doing perch. They've never done perch. When they find smallmouth, that's the threshold, then they nuke the waterway. But they'll tolerate the perch and stuff. But if you went down and threw a smallmouth into the pond down the road here,
they'd get mad.
They're going to nuke it.
Garter snakes are considered the most common reptile in Yellowstone. Pelicans regularly nest in the southern arm of Yellowstone Lake, and it's thought that there are about a dozen wolverines in the park, with the last sighting happening in March of 2022. Largemouth bass are not found there, but smallmouth bass are threatening to make an appearance. The park has a strict catch-and-kill policy for any smallmouth caught within its boundaries. Question 2. The topic is anthropology. Roughly 1,000 years ago, Native Americans invented America's oldest team sport that used balls made of deer hide. What is that sport? Roughly 1,000 years ago, Native Americans invented America's oldest team sport that used balls made of deer hide.
What's Brody doing over there?
What really is out. That sport?
You thinking, Brody, or what?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Quick answers from Steve, Hayden, Seth, Randall,
not Brody.
Sam, Brody's still thinking.
What was Brody? Sports ball.
Is Brody sports ball. Faltering?
Listen, man. Remember how I was ahead of you, and then I was behind you, and then I was ahead of you last time, and then you were ahead? I'm not worried.
One more time here. Roughly 1,000 years ago, Native Americans invented America's oldest team sport that used balls made of deer hide. What is that sport?
Brody's like, geez, I was just a little kid.
Does everybody have an answer? Marge, you good?
Oh, I showed mine on accident.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying lacrosse. Savannah, you got to pick one, Savannah. Croquet or football? Which one is it?
Croquet.
Hayden saying lacrosse. Brody saying baseball. Sam saying lacrosse. Marge saying handball. Corey saying polo. Randall and Seth saying lacrosse. They got it. The correct answer is lacrosse.
It's kind of like baseball.
Polo's a cool idea, though. Like
early
that.
Versions of the game featured matches that could last for days with hundreds of men on fields that were miles wide. For equipment, the sticks were made of wood, the balls were made of deer hide, and the nets were made of deer sinew. Oral traditions cite that the first ever lacrosse game was played between birds and mammals.
Man, my wife for Christmas got us it's like a net that you can turn your kitchen table into a ping pong table. Dude, I'm obsessed, man.
Really?
Me and my kids play every night.
Really? Does just stay on there for days sometimes?
Yeah, I beat everybody.
You guys eat around it?
I beat everybody. No, you can get it off so fast. I like it because I just win.
That's great.
I beat my wife. I beat all my kids.
You know,
you might want to rephrase that. Yeah, see that sound bite.
Office 2.0 that opens this year is going to have a ping pong table, so we'll be able to test these claims.
Yeah.
I had one years in my garage, and I gave it to the company, so it should show up in the new office.
It's there already.
I'm kicking around. Oh, yeah. I can't decide, but I'm kicking around, like, at what point you should buy, like, a really nice paddle.
Mm. Yeah, you should. You should.
Does it make a difference?
For sure, yeah. Mm. And the paddles have ratings on them, like control and spin and speed and stuff like that.
No, that's not where I'm at. Oh, I want one that says, like, that you'll hit it more often.
Okay. He just wants one
a bigger one.
Size. He wants one that says Big Steve on the paddle. Okay.
Question 3. The topic is woodsmanship. This is our Onyx listener question of the week, which was won by Logan Estes. For sending this great question, Logan is going to get a 1-year premium subscription to Onyx. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This plant, which combines the name of a mammal with the name of a vegetable, is said to smell like rotting meat. What is it? This plant, which combines the name of a mammal with the name of a vegetable, is said to smell like rotting meat. What is it? Quick answers.
Having a rough start here. What was the category?
Oh, brother.
Woodsmanship. Quick answers from Steve and Seth and Hayden. Brody. Seth, you 100% know this?
I wouldn't say 100%, but I feel pretty good about it.
Okay.
Brody, just look at him down there, man.
Listen. The heckling, I don't do it to you.
Oh.
But I'm going to start.
Okay.
No, I'm quitting. No need.
You guys can trade sides here. Brody can heckle and you can be silent.
It just like gets in my head and then I can't think. It's unfair. Go ahead.
Feel good? Does everyone else have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying skunk cabbage. Savannah saying dogwood. Hayden saying skunk cabbage. Brody without an answer. Sam saying skunk cabbage. Marge saying corpse flower. Corey saying cattail.
She didn't follow the rules.
Randall saying skunk cabbage. And Seth saying skunk cabbage. They got it. The correct answer is skunk cabbage.
We used to play that stuff all the time. I never got the corpse thing from it.
Yeah. Well, the corpse thing kind of threw me off. Cause
yeah.
Dead meat. That's what you said.
Rotting meat.
Rotting meat.
Yeah.
Rotting,
yeah.
Rotting meat.
Meat.
My board's kind of falling apart.
Skunk cabbage has the unique ability to generate heat and melt snow, which allows it to emerge in early spring. This warm air helps carry the plant's foul odor and attract pollinators. Eastern skunk cabbage is found from Canada to Tennessee, and western skunk cabbage ranges from Alaska to California.
Bears will dig that out and eat it. When it's young. Mm.
Question 4. The topic is cooking. What does MRE stand for? Quick answers from everyone in the room. This may be a 100% right question. Again, topic is cooking. What does MRE stand for?
Working on perfect game over there, huh?
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Okay. Hayden, you might be the only one.
No.
Oh, okay. Couple folks. What does MRE?
Brody, at
stand
least you're not
for?
Getting heckled by the host.
Now I can take the heckling.
I quit, dude. I'm going back to being the silent killer.
Mm.
He ain't gonna get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not getting it.
Maggie, you good?
I don't know it. So.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying meals ready to eat. Savannah saying meal ready to eat. Brody without an answer.
What?
I'm sorry. Hayden without an answer. Brody.
Defensive.
Sam saying meals ready to eat. Corey and Marge without an answer. Randall saying meal ready to eat. Seth saying made ready to eat. The correct answer is meals ready to eat.
Oh, so I'm the only one that got it.
I got it.
Plural. I got it.
You had plural?
The yeah. Plural isn't important.
Oh.
If you got meal or meals. I'm not going to give it to Seth, though, who said made ready to eat.
Bummer, bud.
This is a bummer.
Although the Department of the Defense began developing MREs in 1963, they weren't issued to soldiers until 1981. Early iterations of MREs were so unpalatable that soldiers created their own version of the acronym, Meals Rejected by Everyone. Others complained about the constipation they caused, which inspired another nickname, Meals Requiring Enemas. Question five. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Jari Jacobs. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. According to Dolbear's Law, you can determine air temperature by counting the number of these in 15 seconds.
What was the category again?
Huh, tell me
woodsmanship.
That again.
According to Dolbear's Law, you can determine air temperature by counting the number of these in 15 seconds. We stumped the room with this question. Dolbear's Law.
How?
Not giving any hints. Can determine air temperature by counting the number of these in 15 seconds. Is anybody coming up with an answer? Any guesses?
I kind of know it, but I kind of don't.
Okay. Stephen Brody, have yet to write anything down?
I got something written
down.
Okay.
You know it?
Nope.
Oh, I do know it.
Hayden knows it.
Nobody look.
Steve, how's it going over here?
Oh, just not good.
Okay.
This is going to be a saving grace.
I was on a perfect game, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Until question five, which is according to Dolbear's Law, you can determine air temperature by counting the number of these in 15 seconds. Are you going to come up with anything?
I don't think so. I mean, if you gave me all day, I might.
Does everyone else who is going to come up with an answer have an answer?
I mean, I'll throw up something out there, but...
Brody, odds are you got this one right.
Oh, like 10%.
Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve without an answer. Savannah saying birds. Hayden saying cricket chirps. Brody saying echoes. Sam saying ice crystals. Marge saying birds. Corey saying thermometers. Randall saying snowflakes. Seth saying clouds. We have a correct answer in the room.
We ain't telling temperature.
It's cricket chirps.
Oh, man.
That is so stupid.
Hayden got it.
How could you determine
air? That's so stupid.
Yeah.
This law was formulated by Amos Dolbear.
Go outside
in
right now and tell me what the temperature
is. Sounds like
is.
More of a theory
it's
than
not
a
zero.
Law.
I think it's a summertime thing, man.
Yeah.
That's not what Spencer
it sure
said.
It sure doesn't work on Antarctica.
No way.
I thought it was
no
a great
way.
Question, bro.
No way. I'll call Doug Dern right now.
I'm telling you, it's Dolbear's Law. I'm
can
not
we just
saying
cut the past 2 minutes and just do a new question?
Now, this law was formulated by Amos Dolbear in 1897. For the most part, his claim has proven to be fairly accurate. It's believed his experiments were done with snowy tree crickets, but other types of crickets work as well. If you're solving for Fahrenheit, then you count the chirps in 15 seconds and add 40. If you're solving for Celsius, then you count the chirps in 8 seconds and add 5.
I've heard a lot of questions in this game, Steve.
I never said it's right. What's the law that talks about animal size with latitude? That's not
Bergman's principle.
That's not always accurate either, but it's still
but
a
it's
question.
It's a legitimate principle.
And this is a legitimate law.
I thought it was really good.
How can it be legitimate if you're trying to take the air temperature in Antarctica?
Or here, right now, or most anywhere.
You guys are getting too mad about the accuracy of it. It's Dolbear's Law. Dolbear's Law. You can argue with him who died in 1897. It's just like the Bergman's principle.
I'm going to get his bone. I'm going to dig his bones out and urinate on him.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia.
Say that by you, man.
Give us a scoreboard update.
Who got it right anyway?
Hayden did.
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Dolbear's Law. I'm surprised it's not in your kid's
turkey
book.
Turkey hunting, actually.
A kid's activity
book. We would never put something like that in there.
I said quite clearly earlier that it's shit that you do on your kid's note.
Yeah.
Okay. Phil,
yes,
scoreboard update.
Everyone is on the board. We've got Savannah, Maggie, and Corey with 1 point apiece.
Hey now.
Brody Henderson with 2 points. Seth and Hayden with 3. And then we've got a three-way tie in first place between Steve, Sam, and Randall, who have 4 points.
I knew Randall would be a formidable
opponent.
Man, those
guys are being pretty quiet about how well they're doing.
That's how they should be.
I think Randall's going to win.
I mean, I've been dreaming of this my whole life. So.
Great. Now, Steve, this summer, maybe when you hear some crickets, go and do this experiment and see how accurate it is.
What if you just buy some crickets and bring them with you everywhere you go?
Oh, yeah, my kid's gecko cage. That means it's about 500 degrees all the time.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family.
do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys next to my scatter gun is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. And I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house. I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted his place a million times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from, and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's, and I'm in the navel, and I hear, pow, I'll like instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on Onyx, and I'll look at the topography, and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints also, and the ability to share them, okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, meaning you put them on, they feel great. Little or no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Just ask my buddy Chili, who's been slipping around in his Tecova boots, talking about how great he feels in them. He loves them.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable. They're very fashionable, and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go around Bozeman.
Stop by your local Tecova's store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Question 6. The topic is hunting. Name 2 of the top 5 states in America that kill the most geese.
What kind of geese?
All geese. This classifies all geese via the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Name 2 of the top 5 states in America that kill the most geese. Savannah, this is probably the furthest removed from your wheelhouse. What do you think the odds are that you're going to get this one right?
0.
0, okay.
But I confidently wrote a couple of states.
You got 2 states written down?
Yeah.
All right. Does everybody else have an answer? Looking for 2 of the top 5 states in America that kill the most geese. Steve, you good?
No, I'm not.
Everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers.
I know
answers.
One of them.
We have Steve saying North Dakota, South Dakota. What'd you cross out? Texas. Savannah saying Florida, Arkansas. Hayden saying South Dakota, Kansas. Brody saying Maryland, Iowa. Sam saying Wyoming, Nebraska. Marge saying Wisconsin, North Dakota. Corey saying Louisiana, Alabama. Randall saying South Dakota, Minnesota. Seth saying South Dakota, North Dakota. The top five states are Texas, Minnesota, California, Maryland, and North Dakota.
Son of a bitch!
I don't think anybody got two of them. Most folks got one state.
Well, I did.
Steve crossed out Texas. Most folks got one state, but not two.
California.
Does that
bugs
count
me.
If you cross it out?
I don't think so. No. Texas leads the country in goose harvest, and they're followed by Minnesota in second, California in third, Maryland in fourth, and North Dakota in fifth. In Texas, the average hunter kills 5 geese in 3 days a field. The state also has the top 5 counties in America that kill the most geese, with most of them being located on the Gulf. Question 7. The topic is gear. This next great question comes to us via Douglas Carr. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Hunter's Specialties declared this tool, which is used to remove a deer's anal canal, the best invention since the knife. Hunter's Specialties declared this tool, which is used to remove a deer's anal canal, the best invention since the knife.
You use one of these, Randall?
No, but I like imagining how it would theoretically work.
I got one as a joke one time.
Some very confident answers in the room.
I drew a picture of it.
Yeah, well, you accept a picture of it.
You also need to have what it's called.
Oh, I also put that. It is for the room.
Can't think of it, huh, Steve?
And I'm going to be...
Never used one?
Shut up a second, man.
I'm going to be a stickler on this one with the answer, Big Mouth Billy Bass. I let a lot slide, but this one, you need to have the exact name. Hunter's Specialties declared this tool, which is used to remove a deer's anal canal, the best invention since the knife. Steve, do you have anything written down?
One word.
Okay.
Not the.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Dude, if I had just gotten that last one, it wouldn't matter that I can't get this one.
If only.
And I know what you're talking about. I'll draw it for you.
Okay. Sounds like a few folks have. We've got Brody pointing to his watch, which is directed at Steve. Does everybody else have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying rectum reamer.
Rectum reamer.
Savannah saying...
So tell him what I crossed out.
He crossed out butt. Savannah saying the anal scoop with the little TM logo. Hayden saying butt out.
And he drew a...
A
popular graffiti icon.
You can use your imagination. Brody writing butt out. Sam saying corkscrew. Marge without an answer. Corey saying butthole extractor. And he drew a corkscrew. Randall and Seth saying butt out. They got it. The correct answer is butt out.
Thank you for that, Corey. It'll live forever.
Did I get one for that?
The butt-out tool has been on the market for about 15 years. The plug was designed to keep hunters from splitting the pelvic bone or puncturing the bladder. Mm. Although it's often given as a gag gift, the 3,000 Amazon reviews for an average of 4.7 stars speaks for itself. Brody, have you used the tool that you got as a gag gift?
Never.
Okay. You think you ever will?
No.
I imagine they're not real popular on this side of the Missouri River.
I mean, I don't know anyone who's ever used one.
Question 8. The topic is fishing. What type of shark is responsible for the second most attacks worldwide? What type of shark is responsible for the second most attacks worldwide? Not looking for first, looking for second. Brody, you got this one? Pretty quick answer.
No, I feel like this one could be some kind of trick question.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
Dude, I'm telling you, don't anticipate them being trick questions. It has worked very poorly for me.
This is question 8. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. Does everybody have an answer? Looking for the type of shark that's responsible for the second most attacks worldwide. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying great white. Savannah is saying the less great white. Hayden saying bull. Brody saying tiger. Sam saying bull. Marge saying blue shark. Corey saying bull shark. Randall saying tiger shark. Seth saying great white. The correct answer is tiger shark.
Damn it. I wrote that down for a while.
A couple folks in the room got it right. The great white is first on the list with 351 attacks.
Now I'm out of the game.
The tiger shark is second at 142, and the bull shark is third at 119. The rankings for fatal attacks are the same. Great whites are first at 59, tigers are second at 39, and bulls are third at 26.
God, that for sure is one of them trick questions, man. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be like nurse or some dinky
bull
little shark.
Lemon, something like that. Phil,
am I out, Phil?
We have two questions left. Is Steve out of the game?
Corey, Maggie, and Savannah are out of the game.
Okay.
And technically, Steve, Seth, Sam, Hayden, and Brody are still in the game with 4 points apiece, but Randall Williams has a 2-point lead.
Ooh,
and has six points.
Randall
really came on strong in the second half.
Have they finalized all your paperwork?
Exactly. Savannah.
Still a probationary period.
Question 9. The topic is biology. What type of biologist studies reptiles and amphibians? What type of biologist studies reptiles and amphibians?
This will do nothing to change the relative scores.
Doesn't look like Randall's going to get this one wrong. He's going to coast to an easy victory.
You almost had me. I thought you were going to say, doesn't look like Randall's going to get this one right. Can I change it still?
Again, what type of biologist studies reptiles and amphibians?
God, I was hoping for a couple that like only I would know.
Does everybody have an answer?
I feel like I'm being too specific, but I can't.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying herpetologist. Savannah saying reptologist. Okay, reptologist. Hayden saying
a lot of time on it.
Herpetologist. Brody saying herpetologist. Sam without an answer. Marge without an answer. Corey saying newtologist. Randall saying herpetologist. And Seth saying herpetologist. They got it. The correct answer is herpetologist. Some of the world's most famous herpetologists include Jeff Corwin and Steve Irwin, who are considered herpetological showmen. The average salary for a herpetologist in America is $67,000. Phil, we have one question left. What does the scoreboard look like?
The scoreboard looks like Randall Williams is our winner.
Already?
Already.
Wow. Just step
he's still
in,
up to 2 points with one question left.
Dude, doesn't even need the, like, the showdown.
No, we're going to kneel on the ball here.
And what is his score with one question left?
He has 7 points.
7 points.
With Brody, Hayden, Seth, and Steve having
my
five.
God.
Randall, you're now chasing the Shelby Index. If you get this one right, you will have hit it. Question 10. The topic is public land. This next great question comes to us via John Honeycutt. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What word describes a man-made stack of rocks that's sometimes used to mark trails or graves?
Spelling is important.
Spelling is never important. What word describes a man-made stack of rocks that's sometimes used to mark trails or graves? Randall, are you going to get this one right?
Yes. It's another layup that doesn't do anything to change the realm.
Yep.
It's like you gave Randall like a bunch of questions that I knew but erased. The minute he got a lead, it's all just.
I was fully on board. I was fully on board with all the complaining when you were talking about the crickets. But I feel like at this point, we just kind of need to move on, right?
It's cool. It's cool down here.
One more time. What word describes a man-made stack of rocks that's sometimes used to mark trails or graves? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying cairn. Savannah saying gravehead. Hayden saying Karen.
That spelling is so far off that you know cannot stand.
Now he's testing me.
And, don't give it to
and
him.
And the proclamation that spelling
is so far off.
Emerging threat slowly proceeding.
No, you're good. Brody saying Karen. Sam saying Karen. Marge saying Karen. Corey and Randall and Seth saying Karen. We have a lot of very creative spellings in the room. The correct answer is C-A-I-R-N. Karen. Although these are sometimes used as calculated markers, Karen building has become more destructive in the last decade. In 2018, Zion National Park begged visitors in a Facebook post to stop building them. They said this practice is vandalism and that it's destroying habitat and creating erosion.
Leave no trace.
Can I interject real quick?
What do you got?
I think that at their best, when you're hiking in an area and you get into an alpine area, and over time, because there's no obstacles, people tend to like emerge into the area and then spread out.
Sure.
And so in trying to like to limit traffic in these in alpine tundra, you would be like, okay, like here's a rough course.
Yep.
Even though you can go wherever you want, maybe you'd kind of stay on this little path. But it is. You go on some things, and there's like eight of them up there, and people just make them for the fun of it.
Yeah, sometimes good, but most often it's folks that just want a cool Instagram picture.
Can I tell you one more little tidbit?
What do you got?
In reading about Arctic explorers, whenever they want to, they leave a note about, you know, Bob's dead, we ate Dave, maybe we're going to be at Death Bay, you know, for the winter. They would write a note, put it in a bottle or a tin, go to a headland and make a giant rock cairn. And then, you know,
three years later,
what someone's looking for.
Oh, that's where they went.
How giant you talking?
Big enough to see from a ship. I mean, it must have been sizable chunks. And then you dismantle it and find whatever they had, you know, whatever it was like, whatever dire news they had would be shared that way.
Randall, congrats on the victory. 8 correct answers. It's an authoritative
phenomenal game. Phenomenal game.
Well done, sir.
What happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation goes from Meat Eater. So what's it going to be?
I would like the $500 to go to the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
Oh, it's just like I won.
Steve also claiming victory and started another round of clapping. Now, Randall, what do you like about them?
They're a wonderful employer. My previous employer prior to coming to Meat Eater, and they do a lot of excellent work, great folks, and focus on substantive policy that makes life better for hunters and anglers.
Good on you, Randall. That's a tier two competitor that came in here, stepped toe to toe with you and Brody in tier one.
He's joined tier one.
Took the victory.
Tier two is kind of like you don't even know the guy. How do you know he's tier two?
Listen,
or is Giannis now
Steve
tier three?
Is the one
I thought he came in at tier two, and Yanni was bummed because Yanni was the only person in tier two.
Oh, I get it. I see how you're grading it now.
Yeah.
He was so lonely.
He's tier two until he's proven he's tier one.
Okay, we'll flesh it out over the rest of
the
year.
Yeah, he's like a, like, you know, to take it to a sports analogy, be like a an untested but very excited draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
You like that?
Like LeBron James came into the league, you know, had a strong showing my first round, won a championship this time, you know, just keep going.
We'll see.
Well done, Randall. That's it for this episode. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater Podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt.
Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.